यथा भूतानि भूतेषु खम्बाय भग्नीर जलं महि तथा हम च मना प्राण भूतेन्द्रिया गुणाश्रया.
The Supreme Lord said, you are never actually separated from me, for I am the soul of all creation. Just as the elements of nature, earth, air, fire, water, and earth, are present in every created thing, so I am present within everyone's mind, life, air, and senses, and also within the physical elements and the modes of material nature. Purport. According to Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, the apparently philosophical language of the Lord's statement conceals a deeper meaning. The Supreme Lord was secretly telling the gopis that he, by way of reciprocating their special love for him, was present with them, not only as the soul of all creation, but also as their special lover. In this sense of the verse, the word guna indicates the gopis' special divine qualities, which attracted Sri Krishna, and the word sarvatmana, which we have here translated in reference to Lord Krishna himself, corresponding to the word may, which is also in the instrumental case, is also understood in the sense sarvata, or completely. In other words, although in one sense Lord Krishna was absence, he could never be completely absence, since in his spiritual form he is always in the hearts and minds of the gopis. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in other books, Srila Prabhupada has elaborately explained that the reason Lord Krishna separated himself from the gopis was to intensify their love for him, and as Uddhava noticed, to bless other devotees by revealing to them the intensity of the gopis' love. In fact, the Lord was spiritually present with the gopis, since they are his eternal associates. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti further points out that foolish persons will conclude that Sri Krishna's use of philosophical language meant that the Lord was trying to bring the gopis to the point of liberation by explaining basic points of Krishna-conscious philosophy. In truth, the gopis are the most exalted, liberated souls, and their pastimes with Sri Krishna must be understood with the help of authorized acharyas. When the gopis came for the rasa dance, Sri Krishna tried to preach karma yoga to them, emphasizing ordinary ethics and morality, but the gopis were beyond that. Similarly, Lord Krishna now offers them jnana yoga, or metaphysical philosophy, but this is also inadequate for the gopis, who have achieved spontaneous, unalloyed love for Sri Krishna. Om Agyanti Midandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurundalitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guru Namah Bansha Kalpata Rupyascha Kripa Sindhubya Evacha Patithanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasri Gau Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We are reading this morning from the 28th and 29th verses of the 47th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We have read in previous days of Uddhava's mission of coming to Vrindavan to deliver message to the Vrindavan. Has just explained his heart that there is no quality of devotion. There is no higher state of liberation than what I have witnessed amongst all of you. And now I would like to read the message that Lord Sri Krishna has sent. Upon reading this beautiful message, Uddhava has explained in today's verse the words of the Supreme Lord, that actually you are never separate from me, because I am the soul of all creation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Paramatma, is in everyone's heart, is in and between every atom. In truth, no one can ever be separated from Krishna. Krishna is non-different than his holy name. He's non-different than the paraphernalia that he associates with. He's non-different than the beautiful sound vibration of his instructions or his pastimes. Through this process, we can always be conscious of Krishna's ever-present existence within our hearts. Krishna is within the heart of all living beings, but he reveals himself according to the nature of our devotion. Forgetfulness of Krishna is ignorance. Remembrance of Krishna is knowledge. It is truth. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has prayed, Cheto dharapana marajanam bhava mahadavadmi nirvapanam, that by chanting the holy name, we awaken our original dormant Krishna consciousness. It is present within us. It is an unconscious state when we forget Krishna from a spiritual point of view. It is like when a dark cloud covers the sun. It appears that there is no sun. But actually, it is just because of this cloud that is separating us that we cannot appreciate it. So similarly, Krishna, like the sun, is within the heart of every living being. He is Sarvatma. He is the soul of all existence. But because of the dark cloud of forgetfulness, of ignorance, we cannot perceive, we cannot appreciate Krishna who is within us. But the gopis, they are constantly, throughout the day and throughout the night, chanting Krishna's names, remembering his glories. In fact, they cannot be separated from him for even a moment. Because Krishna, within their hearts, is fully revealing himself to them through their love. Last night we were discussing the Ras Lila of Sri Krishna. Krishna disappeared from the gopis at that time, and they were plunged in separation. They were wandering throughout the Vrindavan forest, searching for Krishna, asking the creepers, asking the trees, asking all of the animals, have you seen my Krishna? Ultimately, they could not find him anywhere. So they returned to the bank of the Jamuna, and there they began to cry, and sing their beautiful poetic songs in separation from Krishna. And at that time, Krishna appeared before them with his beautiful blackish complexion, wearing golden colored garments, bedecked with a peacock feather. And when they saw him, how happy they were. And then he began to dance with them, making a big circle. Krishna appeared in and between each gopi, and each one was thinking that Krishna is with me only. Anyways, it is explained that through this beautiful Ras Lila, after Krishna reappeared, the gopis, they were still so hurt that Krishna left them. And some of them, they requested Krishna to explain, after we gave up everything for you, why did you break our hearts by leaving us like that? And Krishna explained that I left only for one reason, to intensify your love for me, to increase the ecstasy of your feelings for me. You should know that I am never separated from you. In fact, Krishna said to gopis, in an entire day of Brahma, I can never repay you for the devotion that you have expressed for me. I am praying that you just be content with the love that you have. It is beyond my power and control to in any way repay you for your love for me. In this way, Krishna is explaining that although he is Lakshminath, the husband of the goddess of fortune, still, with all of his grand opulence, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, he is the proprietor of everything of all the material and spiritual worlds. He does not have the wealth to repay for the great treasure of love that the gopis were offering to him. And yet Krishna, his transcendental mercy, is he is always trying to increase his devotees' love. Even for a neophyte devotee who is aspiring to become purified in Krishna consciousness, we should know that whatever Krishna does in our life, it is his perfect arrangement to increase the quality of our love. And sometimes we may say that I don't understand why Krishna is doing this to me. How is this increasing my love? But who are we to understand Krishna? We must have faith and accept that Krishna's mercy is perfect and complete, that he is residing within our heart and he is controlling all of creation just according to what we need. If the most exalted and highest liberated souls, the gopis, were not able to understand the method in which Krishna was increasing their love, then what is our position to think that we can understand? Sometimes Krishna puts us in a difficult situation. Sometimes the situation that it appears that it's just too insurmountable for me to deal with. Why is he doing like this? But has he put any of us ever in such an insurmountably difficult situation as we are reading he is putting the gopis through? Can you imagine? He called them on his flute to give up their homes, to give up their husbands, to give up all their children, to give up all their wealth, their security, their prestige in society, even their morality. And then he left them alone in the dark jungles. The gopis could not understand, why is Krishna doing this to us? They were hunting for him, searching for him, and they could not find him anywhere. In fact, they were unable to find Krishna. Ultimately, they just came back to the Jamuna. They gave up even the attempt to find him anymore, and they just wept, they cried, and they chanted his names and glories, and offer beautiful prayers to him, even though they did not know where he may be or whether he will ever come back. Has Krishna ever tested any of us to such an extreme extent? Never. The ultimate test was given to the gopis. And the fact that after Krishna returned, after enjoying Ras Lila with him for some time, the gopis inquired, why did you do that to us? How could you do that to us? This means that even the highest transcendentalists, the most advanced souls, were not able to understand Krishna's mercy. And Krishna told them, I did it only to increase your love. So whatever situation Krishna may put us in, whether it be some physical disturbance, some disease, whether it be the inconceivable way that all of our spiritual and material desires are not being fulfilled, whether it be humiliation, whether it be terrible problems in our family, whether it be bankruptcy in business, whether it be earthquakes or bomb blasts or wars, or whether we try so hard and we fail, we may think, why is Krishna doing this to me? What have I done to him? Well, what did the gopis do to him? They gave up everything only for his pleasure, and he tortured them. At least that's what they were thinking. So, in our own small little way, we are approaching Krishna with a desire to serve him, with a desire to love him, and somehow or other, we meet opposition. And we don't understand it. Don't try to understand it. Just have faith in Krishna's words that whatever I do for my devotees, my sincere devotees, it is only for the purpose of increasing their love for me. And even after saying all these things to the gopis and telling them that I can never repay you, even in a day of Brahma, then he left them again. And they were crying day and night, brokenhearted. What to speak of the gopis' own hearts, but they would have to see Nanda and Yashoda's condition, who were the most respectable elders of the whole Braj Bhumi. Can you imagine how, first feeling their own heart's separation, then they would have to daily see all of their friends, the other gopis, how they were suffering. And then they would see Nanda and Yashoda, how they were suffering separation. And then Krishna did not even have the sympathy to come and visit them personally. But he sent a messenger. And through the messenger, Krishna is speaking the same message. Oh, only to increase your love have I gone away. But you should know that in truth, I really have not gone away. Because in your love for me, I am ever present. In your remembrance of me, I am residing. Krishna is explaining, as the purport by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, he's explaining the process of Jnana Yoga. That I am the super soul of all creation. All the elements of material nature, earth, water, fire, air, ether, they are all, I am present in every created thing. And I am also within everyone's mind, the life air, the senses. I'm also within the physical elements and the modes of material nature. No doubt, this is all true. This is preliminary Bhagavad Gita philosophy that Krishna is preaching to the gopis. The one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. But the gopis already demonstrated that they were seeing him everywhere to the most intensified extreme when they were wandering through the forest. Whatever they saw, they were just seeing Krishna. They were just looking for Krishna. As you approach Krishna, he rewards accordingly. Because the gopis were always wanting to serve Krishna, wanting to please Krishna, they were seeing Krishna everywhere. Everything that they would experience through their senses would simply remind them of Krishna. Everything they tasted, everything they saw with their eyes, they heard with their ears, they smelled with their nose, they touched with their flesh, simply reminded them of Krishna. Simply increased their longing for Krishna. And wherever they looked in Vrindavan, they would think Krishna would play here. Krishna would perform this pastime in this place. Everything just reminded them of Krishna. In this way, Krishna reveals himself according to our devotion. And the goal and purpose of this human form of life is to follow in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan. But in order to always remember Krishna with such a feeling of love for his service and for his pleasure. Now, how to follow in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan? We cannot imitate them. To imitate Krishna or to imitate the gopis, Shukadeva Goswami explains, is more dangerous than imitating Lord Shiva when he drank the ocean of poison. During the churning of the ocean of milk between the demigods and the demons, terrible, terrible poison, halhala, came out of the ocean. One drop of this poison was so deadly that it could create, it could destroy practically all living beings. And there was practically an ocean of this poison. Lord Shiva, in order to show compassion and love for the created beings, upon their request, he drank the entire ocean of poison. And the result was a beautiful bluish line appeared on his throat. Shukadeva Goswami explains, we can never imitate great souls. To imitate Krishna or the gopis is more deadly than drinking the ocean of poison in order to imitate Lord Shiva. It will kill us spiritually. But we must follow in the footsteps of the gopis if we want to have this exclusive devotion to Lord Sri Krishna. And how do we follow in the footsteps of the gopis? Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Dasa 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 Anudas. We must learn from the authorized acharyas how to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. They teach us step by step, systematically, with the highest authority, how we can develop this ever-increasing remembrance of Krishna in love. And what is the process? The gopis, they had forsaken all conceptions of morality for Krishna. We cannot do that. Rather, we must follow the four regulative principles strictly. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. Although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching how to develop the love of the Brijvasis and ultimately the Madhurya Bhava, how strict he was. How absolutely strict he was in his daily dealings. He would only eat very simple foods. He would have very, very restrictive relationships with the opposite sex. He was very austere, very simple, and he was always chanting the holy name of Krishna, always preaching the glories of Krishna, and always anxious to serve the devotees of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us the process by his own example of following in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan. And his teachings have been compiled by the six Goswamis, headed by Srila Rupa Goswami. And they have been passed down, preserved, and spoken perfectly according to time and place and the people involved by the great acharyas in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And this same opportunity, the same information is given to all of us here today. How to see Krishna everywhere. How to always be conscious of Krishna's mercy in our life. And how to be able to recognize, as inconceivable as it may appear, that everything Krishna does in the life of a sincere devotee is only to increase our love. We should not simply be anxious to change our situation. That is a materialistic conception. But we should be anxious to change our consciousness, to accept Krishna's mercy and benefit from it. Sometimes when devotees are put through a crisis or a test or a difficult time in life, our whole consciousness is, when will this be over with? When will it end? When will things go my way? When will Krishna just fulfill my mind's desires? Krishna is aiming at fulfilling your soul's desires. Thank you.
evil.
So we should not be so much thinking, when will this disease end? Or when will this crisis end? Or when will this waiting period in my life end? Or when will this confusion of not knowing what will be in the future end? A devotee should be praying to Krishna, when will my consciousness change so that I can see you in the mercy that you are giving me, so that I can be grateful to you and remember you in whatever way you deal with me. Ashlisyava padaratam panashtumam adarshanamar mahatam karotuva yatha tatha tha vidatha tulam vato mat prananathas tu se eva napara. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually praying to Krishna, please, as you like, do. If you like, embrace me and make me so happy. If you like, you can trample on me. Or if you like, you can make me broken-hearted by not being present before me. Sometimes Krishna says yes. Sometimes Krishna says no. Sometimes Krishna says, wait. Wait means we don't know what he wants us to do. It's the most difficult. But we must have faith that Krishna, if you would like me to wait, I will wait for the rest of eternity, if that's what you want. Now, why don't you, Krishna, why don't you solve my problem now? Why are you keeping me waiting? This is not the mentality of a person who's aspiring for pure devotion. Krishna, give me the courage and the strength to remember you in whatever situation you put me in. Give me the faith that you are increasing my love at every moment in life, at least giving me the opportunity to increase my love. Whether we take the opportunity is dependent on whether we have enough faith to remember Krishna and to be grateful to Krishna in every situation of life. We may be thinking, the gopis are so advanced, but I am not so advanced. Why is Krishna doing this to me? Krishna is the perfect physician. He will give you exactly the dose of the exact perfect medicine that you require. And that is a fact. That is the absolute truth. But we are like children. We do not like to take medicine. But every good parent doesn't care whether you like or not, they give. Krishna is the best parent. He will give. You may kick, you may cry, you may say, I don't want it, I don't like it, it doesn't taste good. Krishna will give it because he loves you. He is your Supreme Father. He wants to make you healthy again in his loving service. He wants to give you the ecstasy of divine love. So let us properly follow in the footsteps of the great souls. Let us simply learn how to be the humble servant of the Vaishnavas. Let us learn the true and pure path, not the imitationist path, but the path of hearing submissively and serving the order of those great souls who are presenting the true path back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions?
in our sampradaya, as you are saying that yesterday also we have read such a good class about Rasleela, and today also the same thing. Such a topmost realizations Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us. And we can't even think on it to that level, that gopi is love, such a high renunciation, such a high surrender. And we have come into spiritual life after 25-30 years or so. Now, we hardly have 50% or something of our life just still waiting as such. Now in that 25-30 years has gone. Now on one side, we are just controlled by means we cannot control our senses of all lust, greed, envy, everything. On one side, this is the problem which we are facing it. On the other side, we have been given the topmost philosophy. Now it is such an extreme case for each other. One side, our conditioning is so that we have been taught of all these things. On the other side, we can't even control our lust, greed, envy. So how to see that, and the time is so less, at least 25-30 years we might be having it. In that 25-30 years, we have been told we can reach to that level. And we have got some realization this is Dukkhalayam, we don't want to come once again over here. So on this 25-30 years, controlling, we are completely controlled by lust, greed and everything, given the topmost philosophy of going to that level, and that too also, we can't even think that we can become a servant of the gopis also. So how to see that within that 25-30 years which you have got it, that realization we get it, at least.
Just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Chant at least 16 rounds every day. Follow the four regulative principles and do your service as you're asked. In the association of devotees. That's how you can do it. No secrets. You have heard this before, and you will hear it forever, because it is the only answer to your question.
But sometimes material conditions are so worse. Should we pray to Krishna that please change the material position and make it favorable to Krishna consciousness, or just we should pray that change my consciousness so that I can tolerate this condition?
We should pray to change our consciousness. But if our material position, if we feel that some change in our material position will enable us to better serve, we can aspire for that. But we're not attached to it. Our inner prayer is, Krishna, how can I best serve you now? I may try to change the material position because I feel it's the best way to serve you, but I'm not attached. If Krishna wants it to change, it will change. If he does not want it to change, then I'm content to go on serving you in any way you please. So our aspiration should be to change our consciousness. Although on a practical level, Prabhupada used to say, do the needful. Utility is the principle. It is our duty on the physical plane to try to make things as favorable for devotional service as possible. When Krishna left the gopis, they were looking for him. They were trying to change their physical situation. They were trying to come back. But in their hearts, they were just always remembering Krishna.
Maharaj, you said that Krishna puts the sincere devotees to great tests. So there is also this, we often hear that Krishna says that if you surrender everything to me, then I take care of everything, you know. And there's also this factor of karma. Because we often hear that when you're in distress or when somebody humiliates you or insults you, you must thank Krishna and say that, you know, part of my karma is being nullified. So what is the relationship between the three?
Who controls karma? Krishna. For a devotee, Krishna can take away your karma in a second, or he can allow certain karma to continue to influence you for your purification. But it's no longer just karma. It's karma working under the direct sanction of Krishna. In other words, we may have so many pious and sinful karma that is due to us. And whatever is best for us, Krishna will allow that to continue. Or he may intervene and create a situation that has nothing to do with our karma. But oftentimes Krishna, by his own sweet will and direction, allows much of our karma to still affect us. We may have performed sinful activities and we have certain karma coming back to us, and Krishna will let us experience that just to strip that desire for sinful activity out of our hearts. If he just takes it away too easy, then we'll be inclined to do it again, thinking we can get away with it. Because I'm a devotee, I can get away with anything. So Krishna may allow that karma to continue, but he just gives you what you need. So in any case, we should know that it is directly the mercy of Krishna. He gives us exactly what is required for our spiritual purification. Krishna is helping us to surrender to him. Krishna says, when you surrender to me, do not fear. But have we actually surrendered to him? Surrender is the offering of our body, mind, words, and life exclusively for Krishna. To the degree we're seeking any sense gratification, be it subtle or gross, to that degree we are not surrendered to Krishna. But Krishna is putting so many wonderful arrangements into our life to help us to increase the quality of our surrender. And when you do become a completely surrendered soul, yes, Krishna will relieve you of all sinful reactions. But he will allow whatever is required to continue in our life to intensify our love for him even after we completely surrender. Daivim prakriti mashyata. But it is under his divine direction. A materialistic person is simply getting the automatic results of karma. But a devotee who is sincere is receiving Krishna's special intimate mercy. It may appear the same, but it is not at all the same. For a materialist, karma, all of the actions and reactions are simply reward and punishment. Material life means reward and punishment. In spiritual life, everything is meant for purification.
Maharaj, you say that we should always remember Krishna. We can take endeavor to remember him during the day, but when
you forget Krishna, very
vulnerable time. It is a time when we are in ignorance. Therefore, we should sleep not too much and not too little. If we sleep too little, not only will we forget Krishna when we're sleeping, but we'll forget him all day because we'll be so tired. And if we sleep too much, then we're just wasting so much valuable time in complete forgetfulness. So the process is to sleep the bare minimum that you require to engage in devotional service. And while you are awake, try to remember Krishna at every moment.
My eating habit is also related with sleep, how to control that, because I'm trying to control this eating habit since 3 years. At last I've given up. I can't control my eating habits.
But you can. Don't say you cannot. You can. You won't. That is the problem. You eat at regulated times of the day and you eat simple prasad. You can do it.
I'll do, Maharaj.
Small question. I used to have this experience of my own that, as you said in the Bhagavatam class, that once the Krishna puts you into difficulties just to see that you come nearer to him, he goes for the good realizations. But once the test is there, we have that conviction that after this, if I pass this test, I'll get a good realization from Krishna and that will really help me in my spiritual life. By grace of Krishna, by the mercy of all the devotees, we pass that test. Of course, another test is just waiting for us. We have to face another test also. But once we pass that test, we at least have that expectation from Krishna that we get some good realization in spiritual life. But when we see our consciousness is the same as it was before on the contrary, sometimes it is degraded. So how to see that it didn't help me, that test didn't help me at all in advancing in Krishna consciousness. So how to see to that that is helping me in Krishna consciousness?
I thought it was going to be a small question. You should follow the four regulative principles. Strictly chant 16 rounds of Maha Mantra. Serve the devotees. Read Srimad Bhagavatam. That will help you pass all the tests. You see, we are not struggling against Maya with a fruitive mentality. We are doing it in a spirit of service. Do not try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna in such a way that he wants to see you. Your consciousness may appear this way or that way. Your aim in life should be to please Krishna. Whatever your consciousness is, just try to please Krishna. And how to please Krishna? This has been explained. Do you think the gopis at the time when Krishna disappeared at the Rasa-lila, when they were looking for Krishna, you think they were thinking, oh, our consciousness is so nice? But yet their love was being increased. You may not recognize how your consciousness is being purified. But if you simply strictly follow the principles of Krishna consciousness and strictly strive to be a humble servant of the Lord, then your consciousness is being purified, whether you recognize it or not. Hare Krishna.